Live from the Tyler Perry Studios in Southwest Atlanta, I'm Ricky Bevington. You're tuned to All Things Considered. We're here ahead of the fifth Democratic presidential debate. And joining me live now is Asma Khalid, NPR political correspondent, who has been on the campaign trail. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
You have such a unique perspective because you were literally all over the country traveling. What have you been covering so far?
So I've spent a lot of time in the early voting states. So that means New Hampshire, Iowa, and South Carolina. And, you know, I think that what we see in the early voting states has been not exactly the trend that has nationally been the case of what we're seeing. And what I mean by that is, you know, you look at nationally, Joe Biden, the former vice president, has had a pretty resilient lead, I would say, in many national polls. He seems to be fairly building quite a broad coalition. But when you look at the early voting states, you see candidates like the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, Pete Buttigieg, as well as Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren doing better. And so I do think there's this kind of disconnect when you spend a lot of time in the early voting states, no doubt very important, from what you're always seeing perhaps in some of the other states across the country.
South Carolina has the first primary of 2020. It's right next door. Deval Patrick is there. How do these late entrants into the race change the dynamics?
You know, that's a tough question because, yeah, you know, Deval Patrick, and I had covered him some when I was over at WBUR in Boston. And, you know, people in Massachusetts will tell you he is perhaps one of the most effective campaigners they have ever seen. And had he gotten into the race, they feel, in January or February of this year, he might have been a top-tier presidential candidate. But at this point, we are less than 3 months before folks start caucusing in Iowa. And it's just really hard to get the money as well as the ground game and the organizational support, and even perhaps the staff, the infrastructure staff, because there are so many other candidates who've been doing this for months at this point. So look, you know, my perspective is it is an extremely daunting challenge for any candidate, no matter whether or not they are self-funding themselves or not at this point, to get into the race and really seriously pose a competition to some of these candidates who have been in the race for months now.
We talk about the candidates, but it's really about the voters. What are you hearing from voters around the country right now?
So I would say going back to maybe the first trip I made out to Iowa this year, which was, I believe, back in early January, what I heard from voters at that point was that they wanted somebody who was electable, right? And I think that this is a word that makes some folks a little uncomfortable, but what exactly does it mean? I would say it comes down to the basic premise of they want somebody who will defeat Donald Trump. And we see that consistently in poll after poll. And, you know, I would say that is across the board what folks want. You know, I don't know that there is unanimous agreement amongst voters about who is the best candidate to do that and what's the best strategy to do that. But there is fairly unanimous consensus that folks want somebody who can definitively beat the president of the United States.
You see these candidates in so many different scenarios. I mean, really, like, pull back the curtain. You see them on good days, on bad days, in every kind of scenario. Here in Atlanta, are you seeing any changes, their messaging changes, how they interact with voters differently? Obviously, they're really focused on black voters right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be out with a number of the candidates. So tomorrow, after the debate, you have Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, Bernie Sanders, Vermont Senator, as well as Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. All of them will have campaign stops here in Atlanta. And, you know, a couple of them will be at historically black colleges and universities. To your point, there is a need to reach out to African-American voters, because you'd have to go back a couple of decades at this point to find a Democrat who could actually win the nomination without winning a substantial majority of African-American voters. And that is why, Ricky, at this point, a candidate like Joe Biden, there have been so many questions about how resilient he can be. His campaign is extraordinarily confident because they see polls out of South Carolina and they see him doing still really well. And so they'll say, okay, fine, you know, Iowa and New Hampshire are this way. And this is me kind of paraphrasing what their campaign will say. But sure, the sense is, he has the broad, diverse base of support. And at this point, no other candidate has been able to substantially chip away at that African-American support. And they're going to need to if they, you know, want to become the nominee. And I wouldn't say they don't need to actually win overall the majority of the African-American vote. But they can't have Joe Biden beating them by, you know, 30, 40 percentage points. That's just not a recipe for success.
We do have a new rising star, shall we say. We don't use the word front runner. We're way too early in that, I think. Yesterday, Pete Buttigieg, mayor of South Bend, Indiana, was listed as the front runner in a St. Anselm College poll of likely New Hampshire primary voters supporting of up to 25%. That's up 15 percentage points from September. So what that means tonight, in just a couple of hours, Pete Buttigieg takes the stage with 9 other Democratic candidates and is therefore likely the target of attacks. That's how these primary debates work. Specifically, what kind of attacks might we see against a candidate like Pete Buttigieg?
So already we've begun to see some foreshadowing of these attacks, and they have centered around his experience, or should I say lack of experience. I mean, he is the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, which I believe is the fourth largest city in Indiana. He won that race by receiving substantially less votes than, say, a candidate like Kamala Harris, who is the senator of a very populous state. And you've certainly seen some of the other candidates point to questions about his lack of experience or lack of, you know, being on a national stage. And I am very curious as to how he is able to defend himself against perhaps a flurry of attacks. He has not really in any of these debates thus far faced substantial criticism. He is young. To many voters, that's considered an attractive, you know, trait. But you have a candidate like Joe Biden who has really rested his candidacy on the fact that he is an elder statesman who has plenty of experience and has been, you know, in the foreign policy realm for decades at this point.
Aswan, I just realized you are also from Indiana.
I am, about an hour and a half away from where Mayor Pete Buttigieg is. And, you know, and I will say it is sort of surreal to see a candidate on the national stage who is marginally older than myself, you know, and you know, I will say it is surreal, but I also will say this, and this is me sort of totally making my own, you know, analysis here. But part of why I think Pete Buttigieg has done well thus far, we could say, and who knows, the polls could change in Iowa. But you saw, I would say anecdotally, even before the poll numbers came out, I began to hear a lot of excitement around Pete Buttigieg amongst Iowa voters. And there is this sense in the Midwest that Midwesterners like fellow Midwesterners. And I think that people kind of glance over that when they look at the success of Barack Obama in the Midwest. But, I mean, you know, not only did he win the Iowa caucuses, in the general election, he won the state of Indiana, which by most accounts is a red state. He won Ohio, he won Wisconsin and Michigan. So there is this sense that Pete Buttigieg can, you know, quote-unquote, speak Midwestern. And I hear from some voters that there is a sense of, you know, whether it's just sort of familiarity, who knows exactly what it is. And he certainly plays up his Midwestern roots. And I think that has helped him in Iowa.
Salt of the earth, I think, is the expression, right? So this is the fifth primary debate for the 2020 cycle so far. We're just over a year away from Election Day.
Isn't that crazy?
Is it crazy, right? Are Americans even paying attention yet?
You know, you say this is on the giant screen. We have the impeachment inquiry here.
Right, we're in this massive film studio here. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people.
And all the TV screens are tuned to the impeachment inquiry hearings. And, you know, I think on a day like today, it's hard for a Democratic debate just to get the attention, perhaps, that maybe the Democratic Party wants to be getting at this point. You know, there is a sense that a lot of voters' opinions are sort of already baked in around impeachment. Our polling at NPR has shown that many, many folks say that there's very little that will change their mind about the impeachment inquiry at this point. So, you know, it's hard to get the oxygen for the Democratic debates around this point.
Asma Khalid, NPR political correspondent, thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome.